And Rabbi Yosef was saying to him, not just saying to him, but he was crying and he was singing with bitterness and he was saying it with his whole heart, with a certain kind of nigunim that came from his heart. And he was saying to him with a lot of kavana. Akinalach, Rabbi Yosef didn't know, but in the next room, right next door, was sleeping Solomon Gametzky. And in the hotel, the walls were not very thick. They were kind of thin. And noise from one room, you could hear into the other room. And the sound of Rabbi Yosef's voice and crying and singing in Tehillim was going through the wall right next to the room. And there was sleeping Solomon Gametzky in the bed. And as he was sleeping, the voice of Rabbi Yosef was going into his ears and going into his brain. And he was remembering in his dreams how he was brought up in such a nice Yiddish home, and his mommy covered her hair, and Tati had a beard, and the Kinalach would sing on Shabbos songs, and they would eat the fishy and the challah, and they would go to shul, and when they would go to tashlich, and they would light Hanukkah menorah and eat matzahs on Pesach and the four cups of wine, all the things what he used to do. And he remembered how good it was. This is in his dream. And then he remembers how he got Shlechta friends who were always wild, playing wild. And they said, don't go to yeshiva, go just play with us. And he used to listen to the bad friends. And he used to go with them and do all kinds of things. Then when he got older, he had other bad friends and they did bigger avedis until he ran away from home. And he became just like Chas HaShalom, his goyishe friends. And then he became an officer of the king, living like a goy, Chas HaShalom, Havdil. And he missed his house. And he missed all of the beautiful things he did when he was a little boy. And since he was an officer of the king, he wasn't really so happy. Because, you know, the neshama, it feels it's doing something wrong if it does a Vedas. It's not really happy. You know when the neshama is really happy? When it's learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. And Rabbi Yosef, and Solomon Gametzky, Shlemi Gametzky, started to cry in his sleep. I miss my home. I miss my mommy and my daddy and my brothers and my sisters. I miss my yarmulke. I miss my tzitzis. I miss my poshke. I miss the shoe. I miss the chicken soup and the challah. I miss the sukkah and the hasreiki. And he woke up. And he was crying like a baby. Just like a baby. And Kindalach, he remembered in the hotel there was this man named Rabbi Yosef from a Yid. And he had the feeling to go to Rabbi Yosef and ask Rabbi Yosef to help him to do tshuva. He felt that something was wrong in his life and he knows he has to do tshuva. He knew about tshuva from yeshiva. His Rebbe used to teach him. And he came running out of his room in pajamas. Rabbi Yosef, the wagon driver, where are you? He went running down the hall looking for the room of Rabbi Yosef in his pajamas. Rabbi Yosef, wake up. I need help. Help me. It's Shlemi Gametzky. Shlemi Gametzky. And people start waking up in the hotel. Hey, who's screaming out in the hall? What's going on out there? What's that? And Rabbi Yosef heard the sound of Shlemi Gametzky screaming in the hall in his pajamas. And he stuck his head out the door. Shlemi, come here. I'm over here. Rabbi Yosef, can I come in? Please. I remember all the good things when I was a boy. And how I was a Yid, I kept Yiddishkeit. I want to come back.
I want to do tshuva. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do. And Rabbi Yosef sat him down and he says, don't worry. Hashem understands, and you can always make a new start. That's what tshuva is. A new start. What before, whatever happened before, okay, now it's going to stop. And now, from now on, it's going to be better and only good things. And so, it got light outside, and Shlomi Gametzky put on tefillin for the first time in so many years. Hi, tefillin! It was so wonderful. And he took a siddur, and he davened, and he remembered the olive base, and he davened a few things in the siddur, and he ate some kosher food afterwards, and he felt so much better, and he said some tehillim, and he said to Rabbi Yosef, I don't want to go to Sena, at least not for the king. I don't want to be an officer anymore of the king. I want to run away. I want to go back to a Jewish neighborhood and become a Yid again. Rabbi Yosef says, of course, you've always been a Yid. You just have to now live a Yiddish life again. Now, Kinalach, Rabbi Yosef said, stay in my room. He went to Sena, dropped off the boxes, and he took Shlomi Gametzky to the town of now the Mittler Rebbe, because the Alter Rebbe had passed away already. And now the Rebbe was the Mittler Rebbe. Shlomi Gametzky became a chassid of the Mittler Rebbe, a big chassid of the Mittler Rebbe, and he did tshuva. He became a Baal tshuva. And Kindalach, he became such a big chassid that the Mittler Rebbe wrote a sefer for this chassid called Pekeach Ivrim. There's a sefer that is printed, it's called Pekeach Ivrim, that the Mittler Rebbe wrote for this chassid. And now, Rabbi Yosef, because he was by the Mittler Rebbe, he wanted to have a yechidus with the Mittler Rebbe. And a big surprise, he goes into the Mittler Rebbe, and the Mittler Rebbe says, Rabbi Yosef, I have some news for you from my father, the Alter Rebbe. My father, the Alter Rebbe, came to me in a dream, and he told me that you're going to be coming. And he told me how you helped Shlomi Gametzky to do tshuva. He says, do you know how you were able to do that? Because you were a wagon driver, and you were able to meet Shlomi Gametzky in the hotel. If you were only in your house, and you would not have gone to the hotel, you would have never met him and helped him. You were the one that helped him and changed his life. You helped him to do tshuva because you were a wagon driver, and that made it you should be able to meet Shlomi Gametzky and help him. And now you've already done that. That was the whole reason why my father said you should become a wagon driver to help that one Yid do tshuva. And now it's finished. You've already finished that. My father said to tell you, no longer you have to be a wagon driver anymore. You can sell your wagon, sell your horses, buy the jewelry back for your wife, and now you can become again a Talmud Chachem who sits in shul and davens and learns and teaches Yidin Torah, and you can go around teaching people Chassidus and doing what you did before. And that's the story of Rabbi Yosef the Baal HaGola, who helped a Yid to do tshuva. Here's the new Maisa. Long time ago, there lived a man who was a big Baal tzedakah. He gave a lot of tzedakah to poor people, to hungry people for food and clothes, and also to Talmidei Chachamim and Yeshivas, that they should be able to learn Torah day and night, and they shouldn't have to worry about Parnassah. So this Yid would give them money, and his name was Abba Yudan. Now, for a while, Abba Yudan had plenty of money, and he gave tzedakah, because of course you have to have money to give tzedakah. And then something happened.
and his mazel went the other way. Sometimes a person has a good mazel and everything goes well, and sometimes for whatever reason it is, the mazel changes and things change in his life. Something happened and Abba Yudan lost all of his money, and now he needed money just Pasha to get food and clothes for his family and to have wood for fire and just for milk and bread. And little bit by little bit, he had to sell his fields. The fields that he used to work to grow food and to get money for his family. He sold one after the other until finally he only had one field left, his last field. And that field he decided he's just got to keep because it's his last field. And one day, three big tzaddikim came to Abba Yudan's town. One was Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Akiba. If you remember, their names are also in the Haggadah. And they came, they were collecting money for poor Talmidei Chachamim that they should be able to learn Torah. And Abba Yudan looked out the window when he saw the great tzaddikim, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiba. And he got very upset and he felt very ashamed, because each time they used to come, he used to take out a big bag of tzedakah money and give them so much money. And now he had nothing to give at all. He was so poor himself. And he told his wife, because his wife saw how sad he was, and she says, "What's wrong?" And he says, "I don't have money to give to tzedakah for the big Talmidei Chachamim that are coming here. I feel so bad. I really want to give and have the mitzvah of tzedakah." Now, Abba Yudan's wife was a big tzaddikus. And she thought for a while and she said, "Look, we still have one field. Let's sell half the field, and with that money we'll give the tzedakah, and the other half we'll keep for ourselves. So instead of having a whole field, so we'll have a half a field." And Abba Yudan said, "Oh, that's a good idea. I'll get some money from selling half the field." He went out to the marketplace and he started to scream out, "Who wants to buy half of a field? Who wants to buy half of a field?" And after a while, somebody wanted to buy the half of the field, and they gave him some money. And he got the money, and he ran to find the Talmidei Chachamim, the big tzaddikim, and he gave him the money for tzedakah. And because they were very, very smart, and they're very clever, and a big Talmud Chacham and a smart person, from a little bit he could know a lot, they knew what had happened to Abba Yudan, and they knew what he had done to get the tzedakah money. And so, when they wrote down, they used to write down whoever gave money for tzedakah, because later on they would daven for them, or say Tehillim for them, or mention their name in a halakha place or a halakha time. And they put Abba Yudan's name at the top of the list. Even though he didn't give as much money as other people, but since he gave it with such mesiras nefesh and such simcha and from his heart, they felt that this is a very, very special gift of tzedakah, a very special giving, because it doesn't only matter how much you give, it matters how you give it also. And the next time that they had a chance to daven to Hashem for the people on their list, they asked Hashem to give Abba Yudan a special, special help as a reward for his mitzvahs and his mesiras nefesh. And they said, just as he went out of his way to help somebody else, please Hashem, go out of your way to help him. One day, Abba Yudan went out to plow his field to take care of his half of a field, and his cow was pulling the plow, digging up the ground, and all of a sudden, the cow started to fall through the ground. There was a hole down there, and the cow slipped into this hole and fell into the hole, and the cow hurt its leg. Oy vey, says Abba Yudan, my only cow, and now its leg is hurt. Who's gonna plow up my field? Who's gonna be my helper? My only cow is now not well. It hurt its leg. Now, that kind of a thinking, that kind of a thought, only went through Abba Yudan's mind very fast. But right away, he did not complain, and he knew that Hashem does everything for a reason. And for some reason, there was a hole, the cow fell in, it hurt its leg, it can't work now, its leg is hurt, but Hashem knows about it. Why should he complain? It happened from Hashem. And everything from Hashem is good. Well, all he knows is that he has to help his cow out of the hole because the cow is hurt. And he helps the big cow out of the hole. He gets busy to get that cow out so the cow is not going to have its leg hurting anymore. And as he's pushing the cow and pulling the cow and struggling to get it out of the hole, and he's getting full of dirt, he sees something shining in the dirt. Hey, look at that. Very shiny. What is that? And he looks and he sees a golden coin in the dirt. And he sees another golden coin in the dirt. It must have been buried in that hole. He finds another one and another one until finally, as he was uncovering them, he found a whole box. Somebody must have buried this box, hiding all of this gold. And there was no name on the box. It was very, very old. Somebody must have left it and forgotten all about it many, many years before. And it's true. It used to be in a time before banks, before people had places to keep their money, that they would just hide it in the ground somewhere or in a tree in case they were afraid somebody would steal it or they had to save it. They would just dig a hole in the ground. And sometimes something happened to these people and they never came back for their boxes and they just stayed in the ground until somebody else found them. And Abba Yudan had found a buried treasure in the ground. The first thing he did was thank Hashem. And he says, Hashem, look, everything is for the best. The cow fell in a hole. Everything seemed so terrible. And now the next minute I see it was a bracha, because of all this gold we found. Now, Kinalach, with this new gold, first of all, Abba Yudan gave a lot of tzedakah. And he set aside a lot of tzedakah the next time those rebbes would come collecting tzedakah. And he bought back fields, and he made a beautiful house for himself, and he bought cows and different kinds of animals and goats and lambs and camels. And once again, Abba Yudan became a very rich man. Not only rich, but richer, more wealthy than he was even before. And the next time the Rebbeim came collecting tzedakah, he gave them a big, big bag of tzedakah money. And they told him, Abba Yudan, you should know this. The reason that you got such a big reward from Hashem is that even in the days that you were poor and it was hard to give tzedakah, you gave tzedakah with happiness and an open heart. And now you can give more tzedakah than ever before. So even when things are tough and we do a mitzvah, it's very, very special. And then Hashem helps and things get easier and we can do the mitzvah in a better way. One day the Baal Shem Tov was walking along the road in the forest. And as the Baal Shem Tov was walking along the road,
He wasn't just looking at the trees and the flowers and the birdies. The Baal Shem Tov was thinking Torah. And he was saying Torah. Torah Shebaal Peh. That he had memorized, he had chazered, and he knows by heart. Because a Talmud Chochem, like the Baal Shem Tov, never goes Dalet Amis. He never goes four steps without thinking Torah. It's like a walking Sefer Torah. The Talmud Chochem is like a walking Sefer Torah, like a Sefer Torah with feet, full of Torah. Because anybody that takes four steps and does not think Torah is for sure not a Talmud Chochem. And of course, the Baal Shem Tov was more than a Talmud Chochem. He was a great tzaddik and a Halakha Rebbe, but he was also a Talmud Chochem. And when he went in the street, he was thinking Torah. And now he's walking in the forest, Kinalach. And as he's going in the forest, he's thinking Torah, and he's speaking out Torah, and he's thinking very deeply in the Chassidus that he's thinking. And sometimes, Kinalach, when a person is thinking very deep, they don't see what's going on in front of them. They don't know what's going on in front of them. And Kinalach, the Baal Shem Tov, his eyes were up. He didn't even see where he's going. And it looked like he could just walk into a tree, or he could walk off the side of the road. He didn't even watch where he was going. And he was going on a straight road. But if there would be something in front of him, it would look like he would just go off the wrong way, because he wasn't even look where he's going. That's what it looked like. And Kinalach, in the forest that day, there happened to be some robbers. They were going in the forest and they were talking. It's a quiet day. Nobody's on the road and nobody's in the forest. A perfect day for robbing somebody. We'll wait behind this tree. And when somebody comes along, we're going to rob them. And of course, in case a person doesn't like to get robbed and lose all of his money, we have very sharp knives, and first we can kill them, and then we can rob them. And they won't fight back. We'll empty their pockets. We'll take off their jewelry. We'll take everything. And we'll have all their stuff, and they won't be able to do anything because we're three robbers with knives and with swords. And so Kinalach, the robbers were ready even to chas v'shalom hurt somebody with the knives. And all of a sudden, one of the robbers say, "Hey, look who's coming down the road. It's one of those Jews with a beard and a hat and the tzitzis. It's one of those rabbis. Maybe he's got a lot of money in his pocket. Maybe he's got one of those pishkes or something with money inside, a can of money. Who knows? Let's go get him." And then one of them said, "Look, he doesn't see where he's going even. He's looking up and he's auf a tracht, he's thinking, you know, this is going to be the easiest robbing because he doesn't even see where he's going. Let's get him." And then the third robber says, "Look, let's make it easy on ourselves. Why should we go down and maybe even have to fight with him? Down the road, it comes to the edge of the mountain. Only a person that sees where they're going, they'll turn around on the road and they'll go along the road when it winds around. But if you don't watch where you go on the road and you keep going straight, you're going to go off the mountain and you're going to fall, chas v'shalom, down, down, down the mountain, which was very steep. And in the bottom was a bunch of rocks way down. And you would fall all the way down on the rocks. And that would be the end. That would be the end of the person that fell down. Because chas v'shalom, he would just walk off and fall all the way down the mountain onto the rocks. And that's it. He's finished." So they said, "Let's let the man walk by himself. And instead of waiting behind the tree, we'll run down and we'll climb down the mountain. And we'll go and wait down where the rocks are. And we'll wait for him to walk off and fall down. And when he gets down to the bottom, we'll take all of his money. And really, we don't have to do anything else. it's like everything is cut out for us. It's going to be easy. And so, Kinalach, they ran through the forest. They took the shortcut. And they found a trail that went way, way down the mountain. And they went all the way to the bottom. And they looked up. And they could see the top of the mountain where the road was curling around. And where it was very steep with the rocks. And they waited until that yid, who we know was the Baal Shem Tov, would get to the edge, and what they thought, Chas Shalom, was going to fall down. And they waited there by the rocks, all the way to the down bottom, and on the other side was also a big mountain, so they were like in a valley, it's called, that was between two mountains. And they're waiting, and a few minutes later, they see the yid walking, and the rabbis say, look, he's still thinking and he's still saying things to himself and he doesn't see where he's going. And look, he's not turning with the road. He's going straight. And look, he's walking off the edge of the mountain. And now he's going to fall down. But a very strange thing happened, Kindalach. The Baal Shem Tov started to go. He went off the edge of the mountain, but instead of falling, he started just going straight, going. They looked up. They saw his feet still going right above them. And he was walking in a straight line. And he kept going and going. He didn't fall. And the robbers say, how could he be going if there's nothing there? Wait a minute. He's not stepping on anything. There's just air there. He just keep going until he got all the way clear to the other side. And over on the other mountain was a different road, and he started going on that road, on the other side of the mountain, just like this picture, which is going to be our davening game, shows us. See what he did, Kinalach? He went right over the robbers, right over the rocks, and he did not fall down. He kept on going in the middle of the air. And I'll tell you why, because he was, you know, if a person is connected on top to something like a rope, and he's hanging onto the rope, does he fall down?
No.
Let's say there's no rope up there, and there's nothing under him. Does he fall down? Yes. If he's holding on very strong to a rope, Kinalach, he won't fall. Now, every yid has a rope, it's like a rope, that is between him and Hashem. And you know what that is? You know how we're connected with Hashem? Through our neshama. The Baal Shem Tov Kinalach was so strong with his neshama and so connected with Hashem, when he went off the mountain, he was still connected with Hashem. Who was holding him up? Hashem. And he wouldn't fall down even if there was no mountain under him. Because he was so connected with Hashem with his neshama rope. Okay, now this game, Kinalach, is you're going to go across with the Baal Shem Tov from one mountain to the other, and you're not going to fall down because you're going to have your neshama rope holding you up. And how do you connect your neshama rope to Hashem? Through